Okay, we started Pasuk Hey. Okay, we went through Pasuk Hey and Pasuk Hey and Pasuk Vav. So let's just read the words very quickly, and then we'll pick up where we left off. Hakitzu shikarim uvichu. Wake up. Wake up, you who are intoxicated, and cry. What should you cry about? Cry that you no longer will find wine. The wine has dried up. Why is the wine dried up? The locust, the four different varieties of the meat of the locust have consumed all of your wine. Vehelilu, kol shoyse yayin, poetic repetition, and cry out all those who drink the yayin, alosis, relating to the old aged wine, ki nichras mipichem, it has been cut off from your mouth. Why? Ki goy ola al arzi. This we discussed at great length yesterday. The goy has come upon my land. Who's my land? The goy is, what we learned, either it's just it is a borrowed expression, a borrowed word, a borrowed term. It is the locust. The locust is with it coming to try to magnify the intensity of the churban that the locusts have brought upon the land, and we call it a goy. Or according to the Radak, we spent time on yesterday, this is an amazing idea. No, it's not a borrowed term, a borrowed expression. It's a literal term. A collection of living creatures who work together are called a nation. And there's no better guy in the world than the locust, because the locust, they operate in together. There's an achdus among the locusts. You could Google it. I didn't get a chance to go study all the science behind the locust, but I think I remember you reading about it a while ago. It's not even understood. Scientists are in the dark. That's how I remember. There was a couple of years ago. There was locust in Egypt. There was locust, I don't know, in the Middle East. There was a big magafe of locusts not that long ago. And there were many articles. And I just remember reading the articles is that scientists, they really don't understand what makes these creatures tick. What keeps them together, the science behind how they work. We know more about bees. Bees, somehow we're more familiar with nature and the structure, the hierarchy among the bees and how they operate and how they're organized. But locust is still something which there's plenty of room for some scientists to earn some good PhDs and to give some good courses and become professors in college and talk about what these things are all about. But in any event, this is according to Radak, a little translation. Allah al artsi on my land, otsum, it mighty, the ain mispar, there's no number to them. Shinov, kshine, arye, the teeth are like the teeth of a lion. Umi sal ois, lovi loi. And to this creature, lo, it has the molars of a lovi. We had two translations, yes, say for the lovi, either it's an older lion or it's a younger lion. Now, one point I want to make before we see the Mepharshim inside is that from all of them, the prophets, who is the greatest, the biggest Zionist? From all the prophets, the 48 prophets, Yoel, he refers to the land, my land. He says, he doesn't say Al Ha'aretz. Most of the Nevuos that we've come across, I'm just throwing out extreme words, I'm not sure exactly what I'm saying is correct, but most of the time when we learn the prophecies from the prophets, to a degree, they distance themselves from what they are discussing. They're objective. They're standing on the sidelines, and they tell the Jewish people, watch out. If you do this Avera, the land, the earth, the land is going to be destroyed. You are going to be taken captive, sent into exile. You don't get the sense that it's common for the Nevi'im to personalize the suffering of the people to such a degree where the chosen word is Al Artsi, my land.
Abraham said that also.
What did he say?
By Eden,
when he told Eliezer, this female Artsi, the Amalada, the Lokakha Yishol, my land. Okay. But there it's in a different context because he's telling him to go back where he came from. It's more of a location. It's not a Zionistic, a nationalistic statement.
All right, but then according to either opinion, he's much earlier than the others when they were,
right.
You know, they weren't about to lose or had lost.
What do you mean? What difference does it make? First of all, according to one opinion, he was late. He was tired. It was during the time of Menashe.
That's not as late.
Okay, but he's after Yeshaya, after Hosea, He's after many prophets, and even what difference? He is saying it's not, when he's giving the prophecy, he's telling about the korban that's happening. He's describing it. This is my land. This is it. Other prophets, you don't get that impression. When we learned Yeshaya, we learned even later in the Nevi'im, Yecheskel, Yirmiyah, you get the impression that they're distant. They're distant. I'm the prophet. I'm delivering a message from, I represent Hashem, and Hashem is telling you that you are going to be exiled from the land. Haaretz. The land. How often do you find a Navi describing the land as my land? There's more of a personal flavor injected into the words of Musa than Yoyo presents to people, which is very refreshing. It's very, very more meaningful, where you personalize the suffering. A guy has come upon my land. Okay, so we did yesterday, we did the Radak, we did Rashi, we're up to the Malbim. We're up to the Malbim, Pasik Hey, involving the Malbim, page 215. Hakitsu, wake up. So let's see the parentheses. Kol HaMaimer HaZed Zenim Shach Al Pasik Ches Sheyamlitz. This really is referring to what says later on. We have to really jump later on to the Pasik Ches, where he's going to tell them to mourn. Okay, Avelos. The psukim are a bit out of order. And you know, it's funny, that's really, it's, everything is out of order. You almost have to read the whole perek backwards. Because he's telling them, because of the suffering, Pasuk Ches says, Eli, mourn. This is really right out of Kiddush. This is like really the theme of Kiddush. Eli means to mourn. Kiv sula chagura sak al baal ne'urela. This is a pasuk almost identical to what it says in Eicha. Okay, mourn over the churban that's happening now, which is not the time of the churban Beis Hamikdash, like the pain of a woman who has lost the husband of her youth. She's married, or erisin, or we would call engagement. Obviously, means they're fully married, just didn't have the nisun yet, and the pain is that much greater. The pain of the loss of the anticipation, the chasan kala, is very, very intense. So here we have, so this pasuk is, so that's the Malbim just reminds us that these psukim are coming to remind us the goal here is to arouse the Jewish people to express their tzar to Hashem. Kol ha'maimer zeh nimshach ha'pasuk ches sheyamlitz shezeh yikoinein eitz pri ha'gefen, that you should mourn. Because of this, you should mourn over the loss of the Eitz HaGefen K'mosh Sheyivo'ar Sham, U'cheilu HaGefen Yiyalel V'yisok Hinav Yoyimagah. So he's learning, it's now referring to the reference to Pasuk soon in the next positive interpretations. Who is being told to mourn? Is it the people or is it the vine? The vine is being told to mourn in that its fruit has been stolen, has been destroyed. In any event, that this is foreshadowing what's coming later on. Atem hashikarim shehem mishukoim tamid besardemas hashichlus. You people who are drunk, intoxicated, who are continuously in a state of lack of das, ato now hakitsu, wake up, mitardemas hayayin uvuchu ki ein mishte shikoloin. There's nothing to drink. You are who are addicted. You're going to go into withdrawal, and withdrawal we know is a very painful process. Vegam helilu kol shos hayayin av she'inam shikoidim rak regilim b'yayin derech shesiyo gam atem helilu. Now the second level of people who are not so, they're not always intoxicated. They're under control. They have an occasional drink. Al osis ki nishrachs mipihem ve'ein lechem hamashka hatova lechichachem. You don't have the good drink for your palate. Pasuk Vav, Kigoy Ola Al Arzi Mitzayer Es Harbe Kigoy Mitzad Hischabrusam Yachad Kigoy Miyuchad. He learns like the Mitzudois and Rashi. It's a kinoi, or it's a she'ela. It's a borrowed expression. It's not like the Radak's idea that it's literal translation. Hu Atzum Mitzad Echus Koychoy. It's mighty due to their numbers. Power is in numbers. Arbe really brings out, that's also an idea which brings out that point, the power of numbers. Each one by itself is a nothing. But when you have a billion of them, then you know you're in trouble. V'ein mispar mitzad ribuyam, and there's no, you cannot even be count. Shinov Arye Koichai Bishinov Halavi Koichai Bim Sal Oisav. That's a very nice Yisoid he's teaching us. That a lion, there are seven names for a lion in the various stages of development. And when this creature is in the stage called an Ari, a lion, the Ikur Koyach is in its front teeth. When this creature is in the stage called a Lavi, whether that's an earlier stage or a later stage, then its Koyach, its power, is in its molars. V'alavi Koychoi Bim Sal Oisavu Yeshloi Shine Arye So this creature, these locusts have the worst of both, or the best of both. The koyach in the front teeth and the koyach of the back teeth. Four-wheel drive. Okay? Off wherever you go, the Gemara says there's a horse and a donkey. Which feet are the main feet of a horse? The front. A donkey, what are the main power of a donkey? The back. A horse is front-wheel drive. A donkey is what is called rear wheel drive. Today, all the cars today, or 90% of the cars today, are front wheel drive. That's where the engine powers the front wheels, and the back wheels do nothing. Is that correct? That's pretty much all the new cars today. Some of the older cars, there are still a few models, they make back wheel drive. And of course, if you want to show off, okay, you want to be the talk of the block, is to have a car that has four-wheel drive. So here we have exactly the same idea. We have this creature which has the front teeth, the mildness of the power of the front and the back. And that's what we're discussing, the locust has both of them together. L'hashchis es hakol, the power to destroy everything. Okay, is that the end of the Malbim? Yes, it is. Now, let's take a look at some of the Mamori Chazal, and then we'll make a look at the Mincha Gedoil just a little bit. Mamori Chazal, Pasik, starting with Pasik, Vav. There is nothing on Pasik Hey. Pasik Vav. We have a lot over here. Kigoy on page 214. 214 on the bottom. Likute Shas Umidroshe Hatanoim. Kigoy Ola Alarzi Otsuvi Mispar Ve'elu Tsaros Shechayovim Lehasvia Alayim. The following are a list of Tsarois which we are required to fast and to blow the shofar, to start a process of teshuva. What are they? Number one is anche ho'ir shenishtalchu ba v'chol and anche ho'ir l'hashoyim anche ho'ir shenishtalchu ba v'chol hashoyim bohem. Any the people of the city to whom these things affect. And here he says something very, very fascinating. And this is Chazal, so Gemara. This where is this found? This is in. This is the Mishnah. This whole thing is one big Mishnah Rabbi Eliezer. This is the Medrash Mishnah Rabbi Eliezer, and he writes here something very interesting. V'chol hashoymin bohen, anyone that hears it. Okay, the people who are suffering have to fast, and the people who are not suffering, but they hear about what is going on. Now, in ancient times, it took a very long time for news to travel. By the time you found out what happened, it's already over. Okay, the tsara passed. Either it got better or it's too late anyway. In today's day and age, we all live in the global village. We know every little detail what's going on in Sedrot, in Gaza. Here we know we probably even know more. Okay, and for your Eretz Yisrael, you discover sometimes that the people in America, they call you up and they know more what's going on in Eretz Yisrael than you know what's going on when you write in the heart of what's going on in Eretz Yisrael. So there's a very interesting idea that we live in a global village. The tsara is a mile and a chasara. Mitzad echa, the mile is, we know what's going on. We can mshtatif in their tsar. Mitzad sheni, we're overwhelmed. We're overwhelmed and we become numb. We all grew up in yeshiva. How often did we say Tehillim? How often did you say after davening Tehillim? Very rarely. There was an emergency. There was an emergency. Someone's having major surgery. Something happened. Very, very rare. Today, it's almost standard in many shuls. Every single day you say Tehillim. Right. Because there are so many things going on. It's just a flood.
The argument against that.
You become routine. You lose its effect, you become numb, totally numb to what is going on. You go and you scroll down the Jewish news, any of the Jewish websites, Sarah, I used to say, it's a bitter joke. I used to tell my parents, let's say, what's it called? Only Simchas, right? There's a website. Only Tzaras. The regular websites, okay, the regular Jewish websites called onlytzaras.com. Because every single piece of information is almost no good.
There used to be an old radio station, a Yiddish radio station, Tzaras Balaitin.
What does Balaitin mean?
By people.
By people.
And they used to have these stories like serials.
You wouldn't believe it.
Oh yeah, okay, but that's unfortunately, you become anyone. It says here, v'chol hashoymin bohen. Today, what would the Gemara say about the 21st century about this idea that if you have a tzara, you have to fast, either if it affects you or you hear about it. We couldn't live today because unfortunately, due to the technology, the technology of making the world into one global village, we know Rachman Litzlan about every tzara all over the world. Any event, one of the things. So here it says Hashidafain vehayirakain. Shidafain l'chayr refers to when the winds destroy the crops. Yerakain is when the crops decay. There's some type of too much moisture. Vehoarbe. That's where the locust. It's not because of the wind, not because of decay. It's because of a creature comes to eat the hechasil. That's the two different types of locusts. The chayara, wild animals, are invading the fields. The acherev, the enemy has entered with a sword. The neisha hein makas maka mahaleches. These are makos which are on the move. All of these things here, it travels. It's not. He's saying it with more. This mentioning a yisoid. These things are moving. And if we find it now in one location, there's a real possibility that it's going to continue to another location. Let's say there are two of the on this list. Then not only do we blow the shofar, not only do we say extra tefillos, we say tehillim, we fast. What's the proof to this concept? Yoyel, she'ola ha'govai v'hishchis es hazra'im, sh'nemar ki goy ola al arzi v'otsum ein mispar, ein li ela zura'im. How do we know? Now here he's saying, telling over here, teaching us exactly what are the different types of creatures. How do we know? Ilono yisra'ke minayin tamaloymar, som gafni l'samot. It's set, some means it's set, my vine, susa the next pasuk, l'shamot to desolation. Ilanois kashim, the hard trees, minayin tamaloymar, eli, that's pasuches, cry out. Kivsulo, like a young maiden, chagura sak, who is girded in sackcloth over her husband. Eli, and why is that referring? Because the pasuk goes on to say, that's referring specifically, we have to find the source for this, that's referring to a tree, a hard tree. It doesn't say explicitly how we know that. I don't know, it's not telling us how we know this.
Maybe because a tree is clad in bark.
Aha, interesting idea. Interesting. It's like a chagura sack. Interesting. Okay, it's an idea. Minayin af machmas atzma yavsha. How do we know if it's just stam? Forget about the trees. Forget about the soft trees, the hard trees, the vegetables. How do we know if the earth itself is dried up? It dried up. Tamaloymar hoyvishu ikarim. The farmers have dried up the fields. Hililu koimrim. Hoyvishu is embarrassed. Hoyvishu, they are embarrassed. Ikarim, the farmers are embarrassed because they have nothing what to show for all of their hard labor. Hililu karmim, the people who tend the vineyard cry. They have nothing to show for themselves. What about if the trees itself have dried? Forget about the fact that there's no fruit. What about just that the trees have not produced any fruit? The gefen has dried up. Is embarrassed. The gefen itself is embarrassed. The fig umlola cries out. Now he dashes. Hoivisha means zo shidafoin. Umlola zo yerokoin. Rimoin gam tomar v'tapuach kol atzei asod yaveshu. And then it goes on to say the pomegranate, the tomar is the dates, the apples all of the trees themselves, Yaveshu. Zet Simachim, that refers to the grass. Minayin af simchas b'nei Adam paisekes, man has no joy. Tamalaymar ki hoivish, sasayin min b'nei Adam. Here, talk of the word hoivish means to dry up. Sasayin joy has been dried up for mankind. Uminayin shafayayin v'agishemin mis apesh rat, tamalaymar, avshu pirudois tachas meg. Refoisehem. That's going to be a pasuk later on. A pasuk Yitzayah. I didn't get that far. So that we're going to little means there means also to some degree. We have to see what that means over here. Elu garvayayin. We have to see what that means. The word meg refoisehem refers to wine, and avshu ferudos. I don't know. Those words somehow mean it dried up. Uminayin afilu devarim she'ein darkon lehis apesh. Things that normally do not dry up. Afhein mis apshin hamolemar. Noshamu oitzorois, storehouses have dried, have become desolate. Uminayin af habotim neifun, the houses collapsed. Tamaloymar nehersu mam guros, magura is a dwelling place. It has become neras, has become demolished. How do we know minayin man? How do we know how to near keves? Tamaloymar ki hoivish dogon, the grain has dried up. Minayin af isve hasod kolin. Tamaloymar mo. Ma nencha behema navoichu edrei vakar ki ein mir Elohim. Okay, the animals have nothing what to eat. Uminayin af vlodos behemos nichnasos b'chem mahameira. In the vlodos of the animals is a curse. Nemar gam edrei hatsoy neshamu. Uminayin af pruto shabakis hameira nichnases. The economy, the money, the market crashes. The money in the kiss. That's really an example of what it means. The kiss, the money in the kiss. Your investment funds, okay, all of the various mutual funds, all the various funds which the person puts his life savings, and what happens? It crashes. The money disappears. Tamalemar neged einenu oichel nichras. In front of our eyes, the food has been cut off. That's an allusion to a stock market crash. Uminayin shaf oisay machol shoichlin oisay ein sadim. The little food that you have, how do you know that you have no satisfaction? Obesity. What is obesity all about in this country? People are not satisfied. They want more and more and more and more and more. Why do you want more and more and more? Why is a person obese? Because he's not satisfied. That's mamish, a curse. Obesity is the curse of you eat, and you're not satisfied. You want more. And that brings all the health issues. What? So in America, it's one of the biggest problems. Obesity is a major, major problem, and it leads to all these rachmana litzlan, all these major health issues. Which, besides the fact that people die and suffer, what?
Part of the problem is poor diet. Eat a lot of carbohydrates. A lot of rich food.
See, that's all included in the curse of not being satisfied. The bottom line, when the day is over, a person is 30, 40, 50 pounds overweight. Why? Because he eats too much. Why are you eating too much? Why? Because of a poor diet? Even if you have a poor diet, so just eat from the poor diet, eat half. What's a poor diet? For breakfast, you have a Danish. Instead of have some vegetables and some fruit. So, okay. So it's a poor diet. But you don't have to eat the whole Danish. You could eat half the Danish. You could do a quarter of the Danish. And then you would be 30 pounds lighter. So the problem is you're not satisfied. You're not satisfied. You want more, more, more. Why? You'll tell me, it's science, because the sugar is an addiction. The bottom line is the fact that we suffer today from obesity is an indication that we are suffering from this curse of not being satisfied. She'oichlin oisai ve'ein soivin. Tamalemar hakitzu shikodim uvuchu ba'is hashah hakol tzayakim hakol mischanis. At that time, everyone's going to cry out. Everyone's going to be mischan. Shnemar elecha shemekra ki eish achlo gam b'hamosode meishiv hakadosh baruch hu v'yomer asu teshuva va'ani ma'avir b'chemes hatzarais. All you need to do is teshuva, and the tzaris will disappear. Shnemar teku shayfar ba'giva. We learned this not that long ago. Chatzaitzra b'ramah. Call out with the shofar in the Giva and with the trumpet in Ramah, different places. Mikan shem mastriin kadshu tzom, designate a fast day. Mikan sheoichlim v'shoisim mibod yom Here we learn from this pasuk that you're allowed to eat mibo'od k'inyan shemosifim mechol ala kodesh. What does that mean over here? Kachu tzom mikan she'eichlin v'shoysin mibo'od yoyim. K'inyan shemosifim, I don't know what this means. I don't know what this last line means here. But the gist of what we've learned over here, it's an amazing, amazing medrash. He goes through the psukim that we've just started. And it's going to go all the way on through the entire parak. And he basically wants to show us that the curses over here are diverse. It touches upon every single element in society. Whether it's the earth is healthy, it's just that there's no produce. Then that can be for one of three reasons. The winds, or to Yerokoin, the crop just decays for some reason, or the locusts consume the crop. And then we discuss the fact that the fruit trees do not produce fruit. And then we discuss the situation where the earth itself becomes dry. And it's not productive. Then we discuss the situation where the trees themselves dry up. And we discuss all the various elements of the economy, things that are put away in storage. And the money in the kiss. Or even the little food that we have, we're not satisfied. There's something wrong with the food. We're not satisfied. Every single element of the economy is going to turn sour. From the infrastructure to the engagement that people the partake of participating, engaging in the economy, every single element is going to go down the drain. Why? Because we are distant from Hashem. And all Hashem wants us to do is teshuva in order for Him to remove all of these difficulties and get the economy back in top shape. Let's now go to the Mincha Gedoila. Okay, the Mincha Gedoila, let's take a look over here just a little bit. We're just going to skip around in the Mincha Gedoila a little bit. We're up to Pasuk Hey. Okay, there's not really that much of the Mincha Gedoila. Pasuk Hey, Hokitsu Shikorim Omru Zal. Chazal say, Lo nivra yayin ela l'shalem sochor l'rishoim u'l'nachem aveilim. Okay, this is famous Chazal. Shnemar tenu shechor l'oived v'yayin l'morei nefesh. Yayin, we always say, is something which it gets you to where you want to go. B'derech sh'odem roitzei leilech sham meilichin oisayitz Rashi in this week's parsha, Bilam. Bilam wanted to go. Hashem said, "You can go." But derech shadim rotzei leilech. A person has a desire to reach an emotion. He wants comfort. A person is in a state of pain, and he wants comfort. So yayin is a tool. It facilitates. It's a tool which can help you get there. If a person wants to achieve in an emotion of simcha, yayin can get you there. Yayin in and of itself is dangerous. You have to have a plan why you want to drink the yayin. Von Purim, you want to come to a state to be makir, to see the nisim, nistarim of this world. You want to open up your mind to achieve that awareness, that emotion where you can see what's doing in this world. Yayin is the tool to get you there. Avelim, there used to be the halakha, the Gemara says that by an avel, they would drink 10 cups of wine. By benching, they would drink, the sheva brachas, we only drink one cup of wine. By avelim, 10 cups of wine to bring a person out of his state of pain. And simcha, when a person wants to be a lel pesach, he wants simcha, yayin gets you to where you need to go. The problem is, people who drink and have nowhere to go. Person that society is afflicted with alcohol. People are addicted to alcohol. They have no goal. They have no goal in using the yayin for a purpose. They just drink for the sake of drinking. And that is a churban. So here, Chazal tells us the purpose of yayin, it's only either l'shalim sochar l'rishoyim, to give reward to the evil. Now what that means exactly, I don't know. Or l'nachem avelim, that is well documented and discussed, and we just discussed all of that. The zehu sha'amad, here is the source. Hakitsu shikairim uvichu, wake up, drunkards, and cry, elu harishoim. These are the wicked people, Shosei Shechar, cry because now the reward, the delight, I guess these people are using wine to give them simcha in this world, these wicked people. You no longer will achieve the simcha, you wicked people. And the second expression, Ve'lilu kol Shosei Yayin, cry out, this expression refers to people who are in mourning. If you're not going to have wine, you're not going to be able to lift yourself up out of Avelis and find comfort. Because Yayin, the purpose of Yayin is to be Menachim Avelim. Ve'elilu kol shosei Yayin, elu mori nefesh, Avelim. Ve'omar alo sis ki nichras mipichem, ki l'rishoim hoi asis mosok v'kibul sochar, u'lezeh hoi mosok l'shkoech v'rishoi v'avelo. And for this person, by the Rasha, the old wine, it gives him joy. And for this person who is in pain due to a loss, it gives him comfort. Okay, so that's a very beautiful chazal to appreciate these two purposes of Yayin and to see how the Mincha Gedoyla takes this Maimon Chazal and shows that's why this pasuk is repeating it twice. It's not just simply poetic repetition. There's a message. There's a Yayin for Simcha, for the Rishoyim, and there's Yayin for the common man to release him from his mourning, and that's exactly what the pasuk here is breaking up in two parts. The Shikarim are the wicked people who are intoxicated in their joy. Now you're not going to have joy anymore. The Helilu is an expression of pain. And now that the people who are in mourning no longer have the wine to give them comfort, they're going to be in their matziv of Avelos. And now when the pasuk concludes, it goes back on both of them together. Al Osis. The Osis is the aged wine. Ki nichras mipichem. It's cut off from your mouth. And both of you, both categories of people, are going to suffer. Next, Chazal, Pasik Vav in the Mincha Gedoyla, Ki Goy Ola Alartzi, Amar, Yoel says, Habitu U'u Mo HaChet Goyrim. Look at what sin causes. Look at the results, the consequence of chet. L'sho'ovar sholachti arbe b'shvilchem al Mitzrayim. So here it's very beautiful. He's trying over here in his unique way to connect on Yoel, the time of Yoel, to the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Hashem says, I took the same creature and I used it for your benefit. Arbe b'shvilchem al Mitzrayim al sheheireu lechem, they cause you evil. Shekol ka choyso chibosi aleichem, I had so much love for you in Egypt. Kidei lohoitzi eschem misham lohavi eschem el eretz zovas chol v'dvash. To take you to Eretz Yisrael, ulhashviel lachem roiv toiv yachshav giramtem shegoy ola al artzi. Now, due to your sins, you've caused a nation will come upon my land. Al artzi asher hevesi eschem leechol lachmechem ulasoiva. The land that I've brought you to, ola arbe otzum kmoi otzum losum oretz leshama. Okay, so here is the connection between the two. Is arbe was sent against the Egyptians in order to take you out of Egypt. I think this fits well with a little bit what we said yesterday. Binoreinu uviskeinenu neilech. We're leaving. We're leaving and as an entire nation. We're going, where are we going? Vehevesi. We're going to Eretz Yisrael. The Arbet was, to a degree, this has to be studied further, was the beginning of the recognition of going to Eretz Yisrael. We're going to Eretz Yisrael. That's the first time we have this idea. Binoreinu uviskeinenu neilech. Bivonenu vivnoisenu, we're going to Eretz Yisrael. And here we now find ourselves in Eretz Yisrael. The same item, the same object that was used in order to get us there is now being used to punish us for not behaving properly. Rav Meir, he gave me a fantastic book about Har Sinai. And this, the best part of the book, it was written by a goy, there were goyim, these two. What? Blum wrote the book, a Jew wrote the book, but the two explorers were Goyim, were real hardcore Goyim, Christian. One was a real devout Christian, and they went to find, to search for Har Sinai. And the book, it's compelling. The evidence they present in the book is compelling. They found Har Sinai in Saudi Arabia. And I can't pronounce the name of this mountain, whatever it is. And at that time, the whole book, that mountain was used by Saudi Arabia in the 80s. They built upon that mountain the most sophisticated radar system the world had to offer that existed in the world. They violated an agreement with the United States not to do this, not to engage in such activity. They purchase this equipment for millions, an enormous amount of money that's beyond, during those times, the 80s, that's beyond from China. China secretly brought in this technology, and they needed to put it somewhere in the Middle East, and in Saudi Arabia. And this mountain, for some reason, happened to be the perfect mountain. And these two explorers had no idea that this mountain, because it was such a big secret, because if the United States would find out that Saudi Arabia is purchased from China, this technology, there could be a war. There could be the whole relationship with Saudi Arabia and providing them with arms to protect the oil fields could have completely changed. So it was a best kept secret in the world. So these two guys had no clue. They were lishma trying to find Har Sinai. And everything that they studied for 2 years taught them that this is Har Sinai. Little did they know that if they say the name of that mountain, automatically all of the technology, Saudi Arabia and the Mossad, who knew about what was going on, the Mossad, America did not know. The Mossad knew what was going on, and they're trying to find out more. So anyone that would say those words, it would be picked up by intelligence, by eavesdrop, by technology that will listen to eavesdrop on your telephone conversation. These people were obsessed with going there. So eventually, the Mossad realized that these guys are going to that mountain. Maybe they're involved. The CIA at some point also figured out what was going on and also caught on to these two fellows who were desperately trying to go there. They thought they're going there because they're working for who knows what, for China, who knows what, but they were going there lishma. So they go there and they're going there. It's an amazing story. They're going there. And at the same time, when they're going to explore this mountain to do research on Har Sinai, the Mossad is watching their every step, and the CIA is watching their every step. And what's so funny is, and Saudi Arabia under no condition wants them to go there, because Saudi Arabia knows that this mountain is has their technology, but the Mossad and the CIA desperately want them to get there. Because after they get there and they see what's going on, they'll be able to interrogate them and get all the information. And kachava, they did the strangest things in order to get there, to make sure they get there. And they got there. And they explored. And then the second they went back, the Mossad chapped them. The Mossad chapped them, put them in a dungeon, and interrogated them until they dragged out of them every last detail they can get. Okay, that's a fascinating, fascinating story. What was for me the most fascinating is this guy who wrote this book, he writes, the technology that was put on this mountain was primarily being used to spy on Israel. On Israel. Israel. Israel was, you know, the United States of the Middle East. Okay, so the Mossad, the technology that Saudi Arabia purchased from China and put on Har Sinai, this mountain, was directed to intercept every single bit of information that's taking place in Israel. So the guy who wrote this, it's written by a Jew, but his name is Bloom, who wrote the book, but he's recording everything from the interviews. The guy says, isn't that amazing? The Jewish people, what is their legacy? What is the source of their very existence? Har Sinai. Their whole makor is Har Sinai. Right. And here in the 20th century, this goes back into the 80s, that very same mountain, which was the makor, the sheresh of their existence, is now being used to destroy them. It's being used to destroy them. The worst, the most powerful weapon to cause the worst damage to Israel is the very Har Sinai. Okay, this is a goy. A goy says this. Isn't it an amazing idea? Isn't it a shock? That was the best part of the book. The Arbe is exactly what the Mincha Gedolah says about the Arbe. Where do we find for the first time Binoreinu? I'm a little embellishing a little bit. Binoreinu v'yitzchino nelech b'vaneinu v'vnoiseinu. We're going out. We're going to Eretz Yisrael. Where are we going? Nelech. Where are we going to go? We're going to Eretz Yisrael. And the Arbe was the Makkah, which put into motion the first six Makkahs, was suggesting we're not yet Makkahs, which represented leaving. They were Makkahs of to punish, to soften up Egypt, to soften up Paro, to punish Paro, to soften him up, to show him who is the boss. And now when you begin the new Parsha, Parshas Bo, Bo El Paro, okay, we've softened you up. Now it's time to get down to business. And business is, we're leaving and we're going to Eretz Yisrael. And the first Makkah that we're going to do, to bring upon you, to show you that we're serious about going to Eretz Yisrael, is Arbe. And now we're in Eretz Yisrael, and the people are just about ready to starve to death because of Arbe. It's the very same Arbe that was the tool that Hashem used to start the process to go to Eretz Yisrael, to the land of Zovas Cholov Udvash, the land that of satisfaction, satiation, food, is now the tool being used to destroy Eretz Yisrael for our sins.
After the fifth Makkah, Paro did not have the Chira anymore.
Okay, yeah, a lot of questions. Okay, but let's focus one thing at a time. That's what the Menachem Dola is saying. He's saying over here, it's the land. It was used in Egypt to get us to Eretz Yisrael. Here now, we're in the land of Eretz Zavas Chol Udvash, Udashpia Lachem Roiv Tovi Achshav Giramtem, because of your sins you've caused Shegoy Olo Al Arzi Asher Vesi Eschem LeEchol Lachmechem LaSoiva. All arbe otsum kigoy otsum losum oretz lishamo, to make the land desolate. The very same thing that was used to your benefit is now being used to your detriment. Powerful stuff. Okay, let's just look very quickly in the Choymas Anach. That's my favorite, if I could understand it, which I don't always understand, but sometimes yes, we don't understand this thing. He says the same idea in Pasuk Vav, back on page 215, Pasuk Vav Choymas Anach. Look at what sin causes. When a person does an avera, okay, that's what chet is all about. That's it. The words are very simple, but they're very profound. Next pasuk, love the pasuk zayin. Som gafni leshama. We're continuing. What exactly does the the locusts, the four, meaning what have they done to Leah? Number one, it has Psalm, it has Seth. Gath me my vines. Leah, Shama, to desolation. Use'eino, see my figs. Lik, Fatsa. The word Lik, Fatsa means anger. Ketzef, Miriri. We're now during the days, though during this halacha, I forgot to tell you the halacha yesterday, during the Bein HaMetzarim, you're not allowed to go out alone from 4 o'clock in the morning until 9 o'clock. You know that? You're not allowed to walk in the street alone from 4 to 9, because at that time, 4 a.m. to 9 a.m., if you want to say Shosmanios, okay, so be a little more machmir, 3 to 11. What? Right, I'm saying we don't do that. We're not in Israel, obviously, but that's what it says in the Halach and Shulchan Aruch. Why? Because ketev miriri is shalit. So it's a sakana to go out yichidi alone. Obviously, in today's day and age, we're not in Israel in these things. It's a makom yishuv of the whole city, or some say better, ketev miriri has retired. He's in a retirement home somewhere in Saudi Arabia. He's in a retirement home. There's no more demons. These spirits today are not interested. We're not interesting people for him to deal with. He only liked dealing with more interesting people from the previous generations. We're just not worth it for him to go and to exert the effort. So he retired. But here they have Liktsafa. Liktsafa means ketzef. Ketzef means it's been given over to the demons. That's one interpretation.
There are other meanings too.
Okay. We'll come across. In the Mitzudos Tzion, on page 217, he says, Milashon Ketzef. Ketzef means anger. anger, or it's an alemar lemer curse. It's been given over. It's been cursed. My figs have been cursed. Soif cha safa. It means it has been covered, or uncovered. It has been uncovered, exposed. The word chasoif means. What was it, a good example? We'll come across it again here in a moment. But look at the mitzudos sion. It means kolav kiliposa. Mach soif halavon. Mach soif means the exposure of the white. You peel off the bark. When you peel off the bark, you are exposing the white underneath the dark bark. So here, the figs have been exposed. The bark of the figs, the protective shield of the figs, have been exposed, which causes damage. The hishlich, and has been cast down into the ground. Hilbinu sarigeha, its branches have become white. It's not the right, the white, the proper color of the branches of the figs are not white, they are darker color. When it means they become white, it means it's decayed, it's sick. There's a sickness. Let's read another pasuk. Eli, cry out. Wail, kivsula, like a young woman who has chagura sak, was girded in sackcloth, over the loss of albal nureha, the husband of her youth. Another pasuk test. Hochras mincha v'nesach mibes Hashem. It has been cut off, the meal offering, the wine offering, the libations, mibes Hashem, from the Beis HaMikdash. Avalu ha-koyhanim. The Kohanim should mourn, Mishar se Hashem, those who serve Hashem. It almost sounds like we're reading from the Kinois. Okay, it's mamash, sounds like Kinois, Erev, Shivasa, Betamos. Let's take a look over here. The Mitzudot starting with these three psukim, starting with Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Zayin appears on page 214, the last line. Sam Gafni, Ochal Hagafanim, Va'asam Shemama. The locusts have eaten up the vines and have made them desolate. V'hata'enim som l'me'ero uklala. The locusts have turned, transformed my figs into a curse. Next page. Page 217. Chosoif chasofa kolav klipasa. Okay, the klipa, the peel of the figs has the protective shield has been peeled. V'nasu anafim levanim k'derech ilan haniklaf. A tree whose bark has been peeled is white. Bark is dark. The inside is white. It's been peeled and it looks white. Pasukhes, Eli, cry. Asi kina, a lament. Kamo visula hanises leish, a woman that gets married to a man. There's no greater tragedy than when a woman gets married and suddenly her husband dies. After all the preparation, the anticipation for the future, it's cut off from her. Like a woman who gets married, she girds sackcloth, and she wails, albal, haniseis loy bin urecha. The husband has been married to her in her youth. Ki ahava kishua b'yoyis imabal shenasa b'mein urecha kishahoysa adayim b'sula. A woman's love, for that's the time of love. And the love, when that love is lost, the pain is that much greater. Self-explanatory. Rashi, go back to Pasuk Zayin Likavtsa. What does it mean? Likzafa lemapach nefesh, agmas nefesh. Okay, so not like the mitzudos. Who said it means a curse? Ketzef means anger, which is, I guess, a borrowed term. Ketzef means anger. So the mitzudos says it's a borrowed term. In this context, it means a curse. When people get angry, they curse. They go totally zebezeh. So that's not what Rashi says. No. Rashi says disappointment.
Right.
It's a whole different flavor. Right. To translate, le mapach nefesh. How do you know that? Where in the world do you get litzafa? I don't know. I don't really know where the shoresh of the word of litzafa is transformed into agmas nefesh. But that's what it says. Chosoif chasofa v'hishlich kolav klipas ha'etz v'hishlicha. Ad hilbinu zimayrois ha-gef. And same thing as the Mesudos is that these words go together. The peel, there's a missing word in this pasuk. The subject of these last words of the pasuk is the bark. The bark has been peeled off, thrown on the ground, and now the inside of the branch has been exposed, and we only see the white, and by doing so, it's going to die. because there's a reason why there's bark. It needs its protection, and when it's an indication that it's sick, it's ill, and it's dying, and that's why the bark has fallen off. Next was Rashi Eli. Eli is kina. The word kina mitargin minan ilya. It means ilya. It means that's the translation ilya, and that's over here we have Eli. Okay. Ibn Ezra, Eli, which are lik tzafa, kibay ki ketzef al pnei froth, foam.
We had this in Hosea also. The foam, he says, she'im ba mamish, doesn't have...
She'im ba mamish. It's a different idea then. It means ket, it means...
By the way, we speak of anger, we speak of foaming.
Foaming of the mouth. Okay. So ketzef means anger, so he's saying a new idea. We have three ideas, three different ideas of what the word ketzef means. I told you a fourth idea. I told you it refers to a demon. I saw that somewhere. I don't remember. But we have four different ideas. Three different ideas. Either refers to a curse. It means agmas nefesh. And then we have the Ibn Ezra, Michal pointed out, refers to a foam. And foam is davar she'ein by mamish. The figs are worthless. Let's now see the Radak. We'll jump around a little bit in the Radak. Let's go through every single word. Pasik Zayin Sam Gafni Le Shama, the locust have transformed my vines into desolation. Ovar Bemokim Ovar, this is the past tense, Bemokim Osid, should refer to the few. Some is the past, Bemokim Osid, Oiperushoi, Yoimar, Yoishve Oretz. Okay, this is there are a lot of grammatical details which I'm not too good with. Let's go down to the next one. Usain Osid Lik Tsafa, Kol Hakinuim Heim Divra Yoishve Oretz, Oihim Divra Hanavi. Shavi peri gufni ami litzadu perush litzafa liketzef ulazam ulubakurs. That's what he says over here. Then he quotes the Targum that says it means agbas nefesh. Jump down further. Chosoif chasafa hakinu litaino gam legefen. So he learns it goes back on both. No one really explained this point that chosoif chasafa, the bark is peeled both from the figs and the gefen. The chain ubinu sorigeha, her branches have become white. Uperush ha sofa gila oisa. Chashofa means exposure. The chashoif zeroyacha. We ask Hashem in tefillah. Chashoif with a shin. Chashoif zeroyacha. What does it mean? Uncover your arm. Expose your arm. That's an expression of power. Hashem, don't just take this sitting down. Fight back. If the goyim start up with you, they insult you, uncover, show them your biceps, show them your might, show them your power.
Right.
It's an expression, but it means uncover. Uncover your arm, expose your arm. So here it's the same exact thing. Chosoif chasofa, it's the locusts are going to uncover the figs and the vine by removing the bark, and that's going to cause these things to die. Okay, next. Then he goes on to say, he quotes Yonasan, let's just skip around. Oy perush, on the last white line of this paragraph, Oy perush chasofa vehishlich she'ochal he'olim vehasmodar. The locust will eat the leaves, and the smodar are the immature grapes. The small hishlich. So it means not that the bark, doesn't say beferish the bark has been removed. I told you that the subject of the pasuk is the bark, and the bark has been peeled away, and now the lighter part, under the bark it's white. That's the first perish. The second perish is no. The bark will remain, but a healthy vine has grapes and has leaves. But when the locusts eat up the leaves and they eat up the immature grapes, there's nothing left. Then the vine is exposed. Next, Eli. Eli, in the next Radak, Pasuk Ches, Eli, Oymer Kenege Kenes Yisrael, Koinoni Al Zayis Hara'ah. The Jewish people, that here you see the difference between what we learned before and now. Before we had Eli, who said this? This was the Malbim. The Malbim referred to this Pasuk, and he said, who should raise up in mourning, in lament? The vine. As if the vine is a living creature. The vine should mourn over the fact that it has no fruit. The Radak says it's not the pshat. Eli means the people the people who no longer have what to eat, they're the ones that should give forth an expression of kina. Omer keneged kineses Yisrael, kainani al zayis hara, mourn, lament over this evil, v'asi evil gadol kamach habasula, like the basula sheniseis levachor umeis, ba'oida na'ara ki asi roiv simchasa ze bozeh. That's the time of great joy. Chasam Kala period is the time of greatest joy, the greatest anticipation, the greatest joy. We learned this Pesach, terrible tragedy, so unbelievable. And really, it's a really a horror. Chasam Kala should be killed in a car crash. I mean, the whole is really something which is just mind-boggling. And why does it really affect us? Because Chasam Kala is the time of the greatest simcha in a person's life. And when that simcha is suddenly snatched away, how do you deal with it? It's just, there are no words. Ein milim. Zeb zech shemeshi misabelis evil kaveid. V'hi chaygeres sak atachas and ya underneath her jewelry, v'chel yasa, and her ornaments. Different two words, which mean her jewelry and her whatever, different types of jewelry. Eli perish kaidani, it means to mourn. Okay, chagura sak. Hapoel, that's a little grammar, so we'll do that. Okay, that is the Radak. Now let's see, we have a very short, I know we have a Malbum, not so short. The Malbum starts, Pasik Zayin. Okay, Pasik Zayin, let's try to run through this a little quickly. We'll skip around. What time is it? No, a few minutes. Sam Gafni L'Shama, Shehishkis HaSagefni HaSateina Al Yidei Shechoshoif HaShafa Shechoshoif Chasofa es haklipa bino eitz v'hishlich es klipas ha'itzim ad she'soriyeho hilbinu ayidekein nishchasu ha'itzim. Okay, it's like we learned before, that the subject is the bark has been removed by the locust, and when the inside of the branch is exposed, it's going to die. It's going to die because it's not protected from the elements. Eli kivsula ha'melitz b'melitzasay mitzayek yilu ha'gefen v'ateina him hayalim. The malbim is lishi tasay. Who is the one that is crying? The one that's crying is the vine itself. As hadvarim hanemorim, shagefin yomar lahashikolim. The gefin is speaking to the shikolim, to the drunkards. Shayivku ki goy ala al artzoi shalagefin. The goy, the locust, has come upon the land of the vine. V'sam es gafnoi l'shamo called zeyidaber eitz hagefin. V'ateina shenishchasu umitzayo sam kivsulach agudasak albal nurecha v'hu dimu l'militze nifla me'oid. This is a metaphor for something wondrous. Sha'arbe ochal hishchis es onafim shalagefin v'hateina v'nisha mehem rak ha'geza. The only thing that's left is the stump that comes out of the ground. V'haminug lachavosh sak al ha'geza. So here he's saying an amazing concept. The minug is to bandage sackcloth al ha'geza shehusar ha'klipa mimenu. To bandage it and to warm it up, new branches. He's telling us there's a very specific reason why we're calling this chagoresak. You have to ask a farmer. People who deal with vineyards or figs, when the bark falls off, there's a technique, what you can do to save your vines. What do? There's no bark anymore, and the way the stump is just exposed, there's a technique. You bring sackcloth. For some reason, sackcloth has the properties that is necessary in order for it to regenerate. And you cover it, you glue it on, and that causes some chemical reaction, something to happen, where new shoots blossom from the stump of the vine. And that's why, that's exactly what we're describing over here. Over here we have the vineyard, and we have the figs, and the locusts have obliterated them. All that's left is the stump of the vine. We call in the service, take out the telephone book, we don't make them anymore. You go online and you find a service to damage control for your vineyard and for your orchard. And they come in, the team comes with sackcloth, and they dress the vineyard, the vines, and the figs with sackcloth. So this is the image when you see an object being dressed with sackcloth, it brings up in your mind the image of this image of a isha, a kivisula, chagura sak al bal nuhareha. The vineyard is dressed in sackcloth, literally, in an attempt to repair the damage. So Malam is giving you a very interesting perish and what in the world is this pasuk telling us from all the various things you can describe when there's a famine? This is not what you would expect to hear about. A kala dressed in sackcloth over the loss of Baal Nehorera. But when you understand that this was a technique that was done in these times, now we understand why we're giving this image. And then he goes on to explain, there's more to this image. Because a vine that has never been cut in its lifetime is called a besula. If it's never been pruned, it's a besula. Besula shikma, sycamore tree. That's called a besula. And the alpize yitzah gefen shal niktsas miyamav arata b'shem besula ki arata until now hoisa besula v'yikorei ho'anafim shekatsu mimena b'shem baal. The branches that have been cut down by the locust are called the baal ki heim l'mala mimenu. A husband is above the wife. Okay, whatever that means in all the various meanings. What it means, the baal is l'mala mihoisha. The abesula hazois ata, now that the baal has been cut away, the branch we're calling the baal has been cut away, and she's bare, we bring in the damage control team to dress the besula in the sackcloth in order to repair the damage. Ata chagur sak al baal shenikhtas v'holach oleha, v'hishchis esgafnu seinasa. Okay, this is a very, very interesting idea, how the maal v'bun shat branch is called the baal. The vine itself is called the besula. It was never cut down. And when the branches are cut down, we dress it in sackcloth. So therefore, that's what the pasuk here says, that because these locusts, we have here chagura sak al bal nuhareha. It's dressed in sack. Okay, there's more here to do. Let me see if the pasuk test goes. How far does it go in the malbum? Okay, so we're gonna leave. We'll leave this. No, we'll leave this for next time. We'll start with pasuk test in the malbum next time. What's your first name?
You can still see the old Italians in Bensonhurst cover their fig trees. They cut them down with burlap. They still do that.
Who's the man?